It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew. We're going to start with the 6th chapter, around the 16th verse there, 17th verse in that area. And so please join us today in this wonderful study. And while we are opening our Bibles and preparing for that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address here at the church is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us here, phone number is 217-847-2717. If you would like to check our website out, and I'd love for you to. We've got many studies of the Word of God there for you to enjoy and grow, come to know the Lord Jesus, whatever the need in your heart will be. And that would be www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And then also, if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study, and we're going to begin to read in the scripture here, and we're going to start with the 16th verse, Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. It says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thine face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Let's go to the Lord in prayer now after the reading of God's precious word. Father, we do thank you and praise you for the opportunity we have to proclaim your word and to enjoy this time. It's so important, Father, for us to look to your word for strength and power. It is of the greatest necessity that we come to you for our salvation. It is the only place that a person can come, and that is back to the cross where, Father, your Son died that we can live. And he not only died on that cross and took all our sins away, and we can't even fathom, we can't imagine how that was accomplished, and yet your word tells us clearly, and I know in my heart that it's true. Not only are our sins forgiven, but also you have rewarded us with life, because death was not the end. 3 days later, you came out of that grave alive, victorious over death. We have life. We serve a living God. Father, thank you for the salvation you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity of a personal relationship that we have with you because of your Son and through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now please speak to our hearts as we enjoy this study today, that we may learn to live more pleasing to you, that we may receive those blessings and enjoy those properly. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We had a problem here with the folks. They chose to fast, but in so choosing, they decided that they wanted other people to know what they were doing. They wanted to be recognized. They wanted to be acknowledged, that folks would see that, look how religious I am. And that can be done in many ways. We find here it's talking about fasting, but it can be done the same way. You're going to donate some money for some project the church has, and you'll do that, but I would appreciate a plaque with my name on it, or I'm going to buy a pew, or I'm going to buy a brick, or I'm going to buy something or other for the church. But I really would like to be acknowledged for that, or surely I will be acknowledged for that. That's the same thing here, why they gave such an outward appearance, so their face was drawn, and they looked like they were undone, and they were so distressed over whatever they were praying for, and so they were fasting, and they have the appearance. Well, God doesn't like that. And it makes it very clear here. And then it says in verse 17, well, just go back to 16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. See, the whole purpose is that somebody can see it. That's not the purpose of it. The purpose is that we serve a living God, and we should do our duties and our works without being recognized. Sometimes somebody will give you a pat on the back or say thank you, and that's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you do it for that purpose, you do it to be acknowledged and recognized. Why? That is when there's a problem. Many years ago, when the Lord led me to this church, there was a plaque on the wall. It had the names on it of who had donated monies to buy things around the church. That plaque left because there is no place inside the house of God for that personal acknowledgement. God's going to take care of it. And as the scripture says, you have your reward. And let's go on down. But thou, in that very verse, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And so understand that. Please begin to serve the Lord so that the Lord can receive the honor and the glory, and then God can really bless you. So this is what we're talking about here. But when thou fast, anoint thine head, wash thy face. In other words, clean up, be presentable, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now the important thing is here concerning fasting that there is no days to set aside to do that. If you're burdened about something, you will go into it. You won't say, I'm going to fast for 2 weeks, or I'm going to fast for a month. You're so burdened about a person or things that are happening, and you begin to pray for them, and you have no desire for food. You care for yourself. Nobody realizes that you're not eating, but you're just so burdened, and your relationship and your communication between yourself and the Lord as you're praying and asking Him for direction, for leadership, for help of another person, for help for yourself, whatever it might be. But it's between you and the Lord. It's not between everybody else that they can see it. So it's so important that this little statement here that we made last time we were together, there's no place for external worship. It's to be between you and the Lord when it comes to these kinds of things. Now, we need to come together. We need to seek out each other's needs, and not to the point of being nosy, but you can tell when someone has a need, and you may not even have to say anything to them. Just put it to prayer that the Lord would use you to help in any way that can be helped, and maybe it's something that they're just dealing with, and they just need your prayers to be lifted up. So please that you would follow through with that. And so, again, this is the section there, and there we're to be in prayer. There's no observance days. There are no rules or regulations on fasting. That's between you and the Lord. So please, that you would just seek His will and ask Him. And when you would fast or be in service in some manner there, do it to God's honor and not that somebody's going to pat you on the back because of what you're doing. Now we get down to verse 19, because that's where we kind of ended up last time. And lay not up your for yourselves treasures up on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Now it's kind of neat. We'll go one more here before we stop with this and go back. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Beautiful, wonderful statement there. You see, this earth, this world is not my home. You may have heard that wonderful old hymn, but that's exactly right. As a believer in Jesus Christ, my home is in heaven. My home is in the presence of the Lord. Now, I may be down here, and I may be down here for a month, a day, a minute, maybe for many years yet. I don't know how long the Lord's going to have me to be here. But we need to understand that positionally, we are in heaven now. And we've got some verses of Scripture. We're going to enjoy those today. So I sure hope that you were able to sit down and study today with us. I know the timing, if you're getting ready for church or on your way to church, why, it's a problem. But please know that it's, number one, on the website, this program, you can find it by date. You can find it by the scripture verses and listen to it if you would like to. And so that way you can come back and look to the references at your convenience. And I would love for you to do that. Matthew chapter 2, verse 6. It says, "And hath raised us up together and make us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. By grace ye are saved," says right above that. What a wonderful verse of Scripture. "That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And we've been through those verses of Scripture concerning predestination, and as we enjoy those, you know, we're predestined to become Christ-like. Well, that's all because of God's foreknowledge, and we've enjoyed and studied those verses of Scripture in the past. And so understand when he says, when before ordained, that is because of the foreknowledge of God. He knows who will become part of the whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is not one single person that's been denied salvation. You can come to the Lord Jesus Christ, call upon him, and he will come in. There is no one that he has rejected. You're the one that does the rejecting when you refuse to look to him and call upon him. And so that's a wonderful verse of Scripture back there in Ephesians chapter 2. You could read that whole chapter. It would be a blessing to you. So back here in the Matthew chapter 6, and we're talking about lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. There's some problems here because the moth and the rust and the thieves. Before we get that far, we're going to go back to Luke, chapter 12. And we're going to read verse 16 through 21. Because you see, there's a problem when you lay up your treasure here. And we're going to go through all those things. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. Luke 12:16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Sounds like a good life. Verse 20. But God said to him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up his treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. My barns, my fruit, my goods. That was this rich man's first mistake, because none of that is his. Oh, he has taken ownership of it. He has built up a strong business, and he has been very, very successful at what he does. And there's nothing wrong. We should do that. But we should never take the credit as if it was ours. He's got an eye problem. What I do, I have no room. This will I do. I will pull down. There I will bestow all my fruits and goods. I will say. See, I and my problem. I've said for many years, there's many people that's got the I, me, my disease. I, me, my disease. This man has it, and it's going to cost him his soul. Never did he acknowledge who gave these goods to him. Do you understand that the physical ability you have is God-given? The ability to think is God-given? The opportunity of living in a farm community here, that our hay and that beautiful clover, alfalfa, and the wheat and the soybeans and the corn. Oh, they've got everything in such a condition that it'll grow under any condition. No, it won't. There's not one single seed that would sprout without the will of God. There's not one drop of rain that'll come. There is no power in this world with the absence of God. So look at all the blessings and the things that we enjoy, the automobiles we drive, the roads we have. Just there is just so many wonderful things. The gorgeous blue sky, and then the thunderstorm comes up and the wonderful rain, and then the sun comes up and the heat of that wonderful sun. All this is God-given. Every bit of it. So we have no right. We need to be good at what we do. We need to work very hard and be very successful in what we do. Because what that is adding up to is taking the talent God has given you and using it. But let's see that we give the person that should have the glory, have it, and that is our God. We need to thank Him. It's such a joy. And so many folks, number one, do not know Him as their Savior. They've gotten caught up in some kind of a religion that doesn't believe nor even speak of the personal relationship that one needs with Jesus. They don't talk about being born again. None of those things are part of the conversation when they come to church. Many folks don't go to church. They don't have time for it. Don't need it. They would fall right into this. And there'll be a day in every case that these words will come. God said to him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?" Where are they going to go? I know a lot of folks, and they're good folks, nice folks, but they have missed the opportunity of praising God and giving Him the honor and the glory. And so as we come back to Matthew, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth." Now, he seems to have accomplished that the moths didn't take care of it, the rust didn't corrupt it, and the thieves didn't break in, even though I'm sure that he was watching and had a security to where the thieves could not steal what he had. I am sure that things, equipment, his tools rusted. And I am sure that some of the things were moth-eaten. So he didn't avoid these things, but he was so successful that he didn't matter. But it does matter, because as he said, "Thou fool," and that word "fool" is a terrible, terrible word. It's not thought of today as something even being evil. And yet it's to one that really has lost their mind. "Thou fool." Let's come down to 1 Timothy. Just kind of keep your hand there in Matthew chapter 6, because we're going to flip back and forth there all the time. And we're going to be in many places. So let's go to 1 Timothy. Now you've got 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and then Titus. We call them the five T's. And so let's go to 1st Timothy. 1st Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. 1st Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Some things that happen when a person becomes rich. All the way up, really, to verse 6. "But godliness with contentment is great gain." That's something that the rich farmer back in Luke 12 didn't possess. He needed to take care of more, although he had that thought of contentment, because I have got all the material things. He just forgot who gave them to him, and he forgot that he can't hang on to them necessarily. "But godliness with contentment's great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in their destruction and perdition. For," here's where we're coming to, "the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereupon thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. What a joy these verses of Scripture carry. So please don't miss what that is telling us, because what happens when the love of money is the root, not possessing it, not having it, but it's the love of it. I have to have it. And it really feeds in there. And they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. That's what happens. So what a great verse of Scripture to read and to enjoy. But just look back. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we started with the 6th verse and read down through the 12th verse, if you want to make a little note of that. Let's look to Colossians. We're not far away from Colossians. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Starts with Galatians. There's four of those little books tucked in there. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. And then you find that 1 Thessalonians, the 5 T's. And so we're going to try to help you to learn the Word of God and know where things can be found. And so it's just fun to kind of make some connections with some of these books. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Not on the earth. For ye are dead, your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, he then shall ye also appear with him in glory. What a wonderful promise. And again, to reread this. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on the things of the earth. Contrary to what we have read with these others in 1 Timothy and back in Luke chapter 12. One more as we continue towards the back of your Bible, and we come to, Hebrews and James, and then we have 1 Peter. There's 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, then Jude, and Revelation. And so you're towards the end of your Bible there. And so we come to 1st Peter chapter 1. 1st Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. What a wonderful verse of Scripture. We need to understand that there is an inheritance. It is incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. We should be looking towards that, enjoying that. Let's go back. We're just about out of time already. Seems like we can't get past much of even one verse here. And it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Christians are not to treasure material things. We can enjoy them, but don't make them your life. And when it comes to that moth, at the time, the Orientals, those nations, they very seldom changed fashions. And so they used the same garment, and even to the point of handing it down. And so it would be generations. And so you had to be careful that moths did not get in and destroy them and ruin them. And so it was very important because they didn't change by every wind. And we're going to begin there, and I'm sure sorry. I hope you know Jesus as your Savior. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?